Good evening. Would you turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1? There are a lot of crazy things going on around the world tonight. You know it. The whole world knows it. People that never ever thought about an end of the world are thinking about the world ending. Things are nuts. And Rob had mentioned that these next few weeks are what in the world is going on. And so I took what in the world's going on in the global community, because most people don't recognize it or see it yet, but the one world government is already in place, and they're working on the one world cashless society. There'll be a horrible, worse than the depression of 1929 coming. They say it'll be here by this summer. It'll make what happened in 2008 look like nothing. It's going to happen all around the world. China has devalued its yuan, it's called, for their dollar, 15%. Their stock market has tanked. They're the ones buying all of our debt the last 15, 20 years. They buy millions and millions on every Friday, I believe it is, our treasury notes. And if they go broke, there's nobody to buy our $18 trillion worth of debt. That means every baby and every child, every teenager, every young adult, every middle-aged person, and every elderly person owes about $60,000 right now out of the 307 million people in our country. I don't have an extra 60, do you? Can I borrow it from you? But just think, when nobody's going to buy the debt that our government is printing every week, bills that aren't worth anything, and the rest of the world is gobbling them up. So there is a big shakeup coming. Norway is asking for a cashless society. In Denmark and most of Scandinavia, they're now getting ready for the chip, the little bit of a, it's about the size of a grain of rice. They're saying on the internet, you can look up this stuff at not just sites, but the companies that make them. Everything that you need to buy or sell will fit into a little chip that they put underneath your skin right by the thumb and the index finger here. And some people are wearing it. They've been experimenting. There's a company in Riverside, California, in fact, that makes them. I had a letter one time from the vice president and said he heard me on the radio. And why did I think that the chip was a bad thing? And what does it mean in the Bible that people will have a chip? Because this is what we make. And they've been practicing and working for years with prisoners throughout the United States. So it's ready to roll. It's already been approved by the FDA. It's ready to roll. But there has to be a complete world economic collapse. And then when you look around, forgetting Scandinavia, who most of those countries are socialist countries, they seem like the first groups of people that'll go for this. But Russia and China and two other countries, if not three, broke away from the World Bank in the last about 24 months and started their own World Bank separate from the rest of the world. You see, Vladimir Putin controls Russia, but he needs the oil of Russia to be at $109 to $119 a barrel. That way, he's able to keep pumping out these submarines, these airplanes. He's built a military that is surpassing ours right now, while China has launched its first aircraft carrier. And when Russia went into Syria just a few months ago, China started sailing towards the Gulf with their first aircraft carrier. And China is very involved. We know in the book of Revelation, it tells us that the army will be of 200 million people coming from the kings of the East. And today, China can boast that they have 200 million in their military. And they could just come straight across towards the Middle East, like the Bible says they will, and take over every country they're coming into. And the mystery of the whole thing is, in the Bible about the end ages, it mentions the global community. It mentions a one world government being a global community, but it also mentions countries by name, which are very surprising. Ethiopia and Libya would come along with Russia. Iran, Persia, it's called, would come with Russia towards the Middle East to attack Israel. And just a few weeks ago, about 4 weeks ago, Russian troops that were in Syria had come up within 4 miles from the Golan Heights and the Syria-Israeli border. Now, I don't know if you watched the World News Briefing on his channel on Thursday nights or not, but Pastor Barry Stagner from Calvary Tustin and I co-hosted together. Chuck Smith had started it, and he and Don Stewart did it for years. Well, Chuck asked Barry to sit in, and then I was asked to sit in with Barry. And we've been watching very closely what's going on. And it was interesting that the jets started flying in Syria. And like you, I'm a pilot. I've been flying airplanes for many, many years. And I understand how they work. But I said, Barry, this is kind of strange that the Russians have jets. You know, it takes 3 minutes to go from the tip of Israel down by the Dead Sea up to the Lebanese border in a fighter jet. 3 minutes. That's, you're moving out. How can these fighter jets be in that little area of Syria and make left turns or right turns? They're going to skid across somebody's border and there's going to be trouble. The very next week, they skidded across the border into Turkey, and Turkey got really uptight. And then the week after that, they did it again, and they sent Turkish fighters up to get that jet. And it was going to cause World War III. And since Turkey is part of NATO and the USA is part of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, every country in NATO is contracted to stand with any country, member country, that has an incursion against it. Those jets making sharp turns and missing almost caused World War III just a few weeks ago. Now, I warned and said, what happens? I've been to Israel many times. I've stood on the Golan Heights. And the last time there, we could hear the shooting down in that little town in Syria from the top of the Golan where the ISIS guys were down there murdering people. You could hear the small arms fire going on. You could look right down on the streets. If a jet goes into Israel, you got a whole different thing because they have an American-made Iron Dome, which are mobile missiles all over Israel. And it is run by computers that are so quick and so bright, so fast, that they will immediately target whatever has come across the border, and missiles from different directions can take it out. One of them almost did that at the Golan Heights the other day. Now, did you hear that Vladimir Putin said that he's pulling Russia out? They've accomplished their mission. And that was 2 weeks ago. So we sat down to do the program on Thursday 2 weeks ago and said, you know, this is kind of shocking that they're going to pull out, because we've been saying, how would you ever get Russia to go out? It's in the Bible. It's chapter 38 and 39 of the book of Ezekiel. Gog, the chief prince of Rosh, which is the area of Meshech, area of Russia, just different name, he would be pulled down into a battle in Israel. And then Barry told me something fascinating. Well, first I told him, on the way up from San Diego to record in Orange County, I said, you know that he changed, that they're not pulling out, they're partially pulling out. And he said that goes right along with what Ezekiel 38 says, that God would put a hook in their jaw. They weren't planning on coming, but something changed in the world community that allowed them to come. We did not resist them coming in at all. That just doesn't make any sense. We're the friends of Israel. We shouldn't let Israel's enemies come right to their borders. So we realized that the hook brought him down, and then Barry said this. It said, and I will turn you around. And he looked up that word, and in the Hebrew, to paraphrase its meaning, it isn't I'm going to spin you around or turn you around and you're going to go back home to where you came from. You're going to come back and you're going to finish what I brought you here to do. We're very, very close. And we know what happens. 5/6 of the invading armies of Russia and Iran and its cohorts will die on the mountains of Israel. Now, something drastic is going to happen, that it's going to take 7 years of people with special clothing to go throughout the land and to mark the bodies that remain. That could be chemical, biological, or nuclear. In the Army, we learn CBN, chemical, biological, or nuclear. Each one takes a different response. We now know that ISIS is using sarin gas in the Sinjar area of northern Iraq in Kurdistan. You're not seeing it much on the news, but it's out there. They are using chemical weapons, which means they will use them here. Their plan, number two, from the Middle East to get the caliphate going, and we were told this by the leaders of Kurdistan, that from the parliament, that since the Christian communities in Europe, especially Great Britain, and in the United States, have not stood up against the genocide that is taking place against the Christians over there, they know that the church is weak and there will be no resistance when they start attacking in our country. Now, I heard that literally from the horse's mouth. It wasn't Mr. Ed, but it was a different horse. It was an Iraqi horse. But we were in a meeting, and some of you, I was here a few Sundays ago, and I shared some of those stories with you. They think we're very, very weak. They don't think the church has any influence anymore, and we've shown it by not protesting. Thank God that our government last week said that genocide has been committed. It's taken about 3 years to come to that after hundreds of thousands have died. In the early 2000s, there was 1.8 million Christians in Iraq. Today, there's less than 300,000. There's 1.5 million missing. So that broke my heart. One of the first things we all did from that trip is we spread out across the country and started telling people. And I went to a congressperson and sat down, and they acted surprised. Well, we didn't know that. We didn't know that. We didn't know that, and we didn't know that. I said, but you're supposed to know those things. Why don't you know them? I looked Christians in the eyes whose fathers, whose brothers, whose uncles and grandfathers were all murdered by ISIS. Pastors and little Sunday school children. They took them into the out in the parks by the schools, and they had all the kids squeal and say who the Christians were. Little guys, first graders, second graders, third graders, and gave them an opportunity to denounce Jesus. And we heard of not one story where hundreds and hundreds were murdered, little boys and girls. I thank God for their Sunday school teachers, whoever taught them. And they did not denounce Jesus. They were decapitated in front of the other students. Those other students are fearful and frightened. And you know, Jesus said, I came to bring life. And life more abundantly. So if it's death, an occult of death, bringing death, we know that's Satan. He's got a free leash going all over the planet tonight. So I encourage you, stay up to date on what's going on. Because when it comes down, it's going to come down heavily. So Rob mentioned that things are weird all over the world. There's a lot of movement going on. A lot of movement. And this is what has caught my attention in the last 4 weeks. This huge mass migration from the Middle East into Europe, filled with murderers and killers ready to do their job. Somewhere, we were first told after the bombings in Brussels that 400 their Green Beret tough guys have been sent out of the Syrian battle into Europe. Now it's up to 700 to 750 very key trained warriors are in Europe, connecting with cells and ready to be at the voice of their leader, bring as much havoc and destruction of life that you can. I've learned in many, many years of walking with the Lord that God loves people. In fact, his own son said that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's how much God loves you and me and our friends. Even if we don't love him, he still loves us, and he paid a price for your soul. So God is all about love. In fact, in 1 John chapter 4, it says that if you love your neighbor, you dwell in God and God dwells in you, for God is love. He's not about love. He is love. He's the essence of love itself. He doesn't have a baseball bat ready to whack you on the head because you failed him or you let him down. He's not ready to shout at you or kick you. He's not going to try to torture or torment you. God has nothing but the best for you. In fact, in Psalm 139, it says that how precious are the words of the Lord. And the word precious is not in much use today. I mean, when was the last time you heard somebody say precious? I don't even want to go there. But but it's just a strong word. How precious are the thoughts towards you daily, King David said. More than the sand of the sea, if they were to be counted. I was thinking once about that. What if you could slow time down so you could reach in? You pick the beach in San Diego, but don't forget there's the Gobi Desert in China. There's the Sahara Desert in Arabia. There's the Gobi Desert, the Sahara Desert. There's the Death Valley Desert. There's all the beaches of the world. And you could just get one handful. It'd probably take your whole life if you could have this machine stop everything and you go one, two, three. You couldn't do that with grains of sand, could you? But by the time you got them, you could let the sand go, but you'd never know. But God has more precious thoughts on a daily basis about you than all the sand on the earth. Now, maybe you've been beating yourself up lately. Why? If God is for us, who in the world can be against us? It's so important for us to understand who our Father is. He's not a religious nut. He's not trying to make converts. He's trying to bring some rebellious children home. He's trying to get your attention. Sometimes he allows trials to come our way. Other times it might be somebody we love. They're sick or something emotionally hits you. But God isn't trying to torture you. And he's not going to whip you and beat you and force you to love him. It's not that you are loving God. It's that God loves you and me first. And when we see that love, there's no way we can keep away from him. So tonight, knowing that the next few weeks in this auditorium, you're going to be hearing from heaven. We're just the messengers that you'll see up here. But heaven wants to talk to you, and it wants to prepare you. And if it would take God walking up and shaking you, when you see what's going on around this world and you understand this is horrible, I did not know this, just go talk to some Border Patrol guys in San Diego. Go out and see if the PD will let you go out into the bushes with them when these people come across the borders. We're not just arresting Mexican people. I say all the wonderful Mexican people in the world can come to our country. This is their country that we took from them a long time ago, I think. History told us that. I love Mexico and I love Mexicans. And we've had some of the biggest crowds ever in the history of Mexico, filling stadiums and arenas and bull rings, and by the tens of thousands accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior for the last 25 years. It's been amazing to watch what the government has said. Please, go ahead. Go at it. Here, we'll give you police to protect you. We'll do this. We'll do that. Thank you for never taking offerings. Thank you for just loving us and bringing us Jesus. The governors, the mayors that have accepted the Lord. The police academies that have allowed us to come in and teach ethics and morals. And the families that have just seen Jesus in a brand new way. But we do have a question why the Chinese, the Iranians, the Iraqis, the Libyans, the Afghans, and the Pakistanis are coming across our borders in San Diego. I'm kind of concerned about that, aren't you? And why are all these weapons showing up here? This isn't about Mexicans causing a problem, ladies and gentlemen, at all. At all. This is about we have some pretty weak leadership. And we are not being protected. And that leadership knows it. So here's part of the movement around the globe. Look at 2 Thessalonians here with me just for a moment. And we'll just look at a theme that we find in here in chapter 2, verse 1. Brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means. So in the end times, deception. Jesus Christ, Matthew 24, his disciples come to him and said, when will these stones be cast down from this temple? What will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the world or the end of the age? Three questions in one about the temple, the coming of the Lord, and the end of the age. The first words out of Jesus' mouth would be some of the most important. The introduction to a message or something somebody's going to say sets the platform. His first words, you all know, take heed that no man deceives you. That's the biggest sign, deception. It is everywhere. It is on every college campus. It is in the TV shows. It is in the newspapers and the magazines. It is everywhere. Deception, as if everything were okay. So don't let this day take you by surprise. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in your mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if it was from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Now, there are people that preach that the day of Christ has come. There's one view, the preterist, that we're in that thousand-year reign with Jesus right now, and everything was fulfilled in 70 A.D. But as Chuck Smith said, if we're in the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ and the devil's in the pit with a chain, he's got an awfully long chain. He does. So, let no one deceive you by any means, not just drugs, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. The falling away. I wonder if, by a show of your hands, those of you that are Christians, or maybe you're not a Christian, but you can answer this question. How many of you know of somebody that has fallen away from the Lord? Almost the entire audience. There's a great falling away in all 50 states of the United States and its territories. The falling away has happened years ago in Europe because now it's a post-Christian era, and America has entered and begins to enter the post-Christian era. A tremendous falling away, and the church will not have a loud voice before the coming of the Lord. And that day, unless the falling away comes first, and this man of sin, we call him the Antichrist from Revelation, is revealed, the son of the devil or the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what's restraining or holding back, that this man may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery, notice that it's a mystery, and everybody loves a good mystery. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Imagine what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit removes the church off the planet. Lawlessness. There are no more boundaries. The boundaries are already being pushed, even in the churches. You understand that? That when God sends his Son, as Thessalonians says, he will descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel, the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air, always to be together with him. And then he ends it by saying, comfort one another by these words. That little portion of scripture I quoted to you is comfort. We know he's coming. We know he's going to come from out of space. And he is coming, and we will be lifted up and be with him. And then the clock starts ticking. There's a seven-year piece of history that has not been fulfilled. And it was prophesied by Daniel. And we will see this son of the devil come onto the stage and onto this platform. But he's going to move a lot of things around. Look at verse 11. And for this reason, God will send the people or send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now if you go to the Old Testament, go to the book of Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah. I'd like you to go to the 7th chapter there. We're told by Ezekiel that Sheba and Dedan, Persia, Put, which is the area of Libya, countries are moving and jockeying. There's a lot of people moving all around the planet before the day of the Lord and at the end of the age. Lots of people moving. Dedan, Sheba, the Arabian Peninsula, We see that oil isn't at $119 a barrel and your gas isn't $5 a gallon, though it will go beyond that when they settle what they're doing right now. But it's being manipulated. Russia had to go in to Syria, watching its ally that gave them a foothold into the Middle East, and they want to protect that oil. And they wouldn't mind going into Iraq and taking that oil, and Kuwait, and all the nations, to take the oil away. Because Europe depends on Russia for its gas and oil. Did you know that? They get most of their gas and oil, but they are stealing it now at $43, $48 a barrel. It's down below $30 a couple of weeks ago. It's bankrupting Russia. There's a plan to this whole thing. Well, actually, all the nations that depend on the income from the oil are being bankrupt, and the whole world is bankrupt at one time, a perfect time for something to happen that would jolt the whole planet. And in doing so, all the governments would collapse, and all the economies would collapse. Civil war would break out in countries like ours, and they're grabbing for the guns for a reason. They know what's coming. And you and I are a big answer to the whole problem. If the church of our Lord and Savior would do what God spoke in Deuteronomy for his people in Israel, if those people that are called by my name would humble themselves, confess their sins, seek my face, and cry out unto me, I shall hear them from heaven, and I shall forgive them of their sins, and I shall pardon and heal their land. Now, I came to the Lord at 26. I don't know how old you were when you came to the Lord. I had caused a lot of damage in my first 26 years, and I had no idea of what I was doing. But when I met the Lord, purpose came. That's one of the great things about the Lord, purpose. You know why you're alive. Purpose. Direction. And you know you do your best not to hurt people. You love them. You sympathize, empathize, compassion. People are made in the likeness, in the image of God. And one of the number one propaganda messages from the pit of hell is that you are not special. You and your kids can be aborted before you even get a chance to die. Human life has no value at all. Animals have more value than humans do, the way the world is running today. There was a group of people in Colorado that got up in arms, literally, because there were hunters hired by the state, I believe, and they went out to, there was too many deer in this area, and they were coming into the neighborhoods, and they killed 63 deer to weed out the flock. Planned Parenthood said this is horrible that they'd kill these defenseless deer, and they opened up their doors in Colorado to counsel the poor people that were traumatized, that were the protesters. A deer is more valuable to Planned Parenthood than the babies, the 53 million that have been aborted in our country. And a strange thing, since we started allowing it, that's the number of people we would need, that our country today would now be the richest country in the world because of all the taxes and all the people that went to college and to school and worked jobs and started new jobs. It's the exact number that would put us on top. We have sown to the wind, like the prophet said, and we have reaped the whirlwind. So Zechariah, he says in the last verse, the seventh verse of chapter 7, should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowlands were uninhabited? Shouldn't you have listened? He says, here's what I want you to do, says the Lord. Execute justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to listen, shrugged their shoulders, stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord. Therefore, it happened just as he proclaimed. They would not listen, so they called out, and I would not listen. But I scattered them with a whirlwind, and isn't this truth? Among all the nations, they were kicked out of Israel, which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. How many fathers have made the pleasant land of their family or their marriage desolate because of drugs, pornography, or alcohol? How many times we as people have something really good going for us and we make it desolate just because we're selfish, we're bitter? It's so silly. But if you weren't alive, your parents were, and if they weren't alive, your grandparents were, on May 14th, 1948, when these people that were scattered from the word of God in Zechariah to all the nations of the world, which they did not know, were brought back, and they have their land and became a nation according to the United Nations. Never in the history of humankind has an ethnic group of people been kicked out of their country, be gone for so many years, thousands of years, and then come back. And that's one of the key, if not the key sign of Bible prophecy, that the Jews would come back to Israel. You're alive at this time. You have Russia with a typhoon-class submarine on the northern shores of Syria, just at the borders, just a short little jaunt from Israel. It carries 20 missiles with 10 nuclear warheads. It can take out 200 cities, just that one submarine alone, around the world. During the early raids into Syria, just to show their strength, America wasn't resisting, they sent their cruise missile into a direct hit on a site that they were trying to destroy. Except they did it from the Black Sea, I believe it was, 1,000 miles away. When America was asleep, Russia came in and flexed their muscles in the Middle East and took control and said, we can strike from 1,000 miles away or we can strike right on the border. We are going to get this oil. Wow. It's a pretty gutsy move. You wonder what it meant when the microphone was left on at a press conference and our president said to the president of Russia, speaking about his prime minister, well, let him know after I win this next election, I will be able to help him. Huh. I wonder what it was he wanted to help him on. Get a good deal on a suit in New York, or, you know, get discount tickets at Disneyland in Anaheim? What was it? We have done nothing to stop the rape, the pillage, and the murder in the Middle East or to help these people. We were always the people that went and helped. And yet, we're told that just before Easter, an apology to the Argentine people that we didn't help them during the days of the Perón dictatorship in America has to face up to its weaknesses. If that was the CEO of a company, he would have been fired that afternoon. If he would have said, you know, Sony doesn't make really the best materials, and Panasonic does have a better typewriter than we do. Yeah. See, people are deceived. They don't understand what's going on. It's like they're breathing in on something that they don't understand. So in chapter 8, he says, I am zealous for Zion. Verse 1, with great zeal, God loves Israel. With great fervor, I am zealous for her, saith the Lord. I'm going to return to Zion. Now, would you underline this, please, in the person's Bible sitting on your left side there? Just reach over. I'm going to come back to Israel, Zion, and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in all of its streets. Wow. God, throughout the Bible, has declared Jerusalem as his capital. But in our last journey into Iraq last summer, We were in a hotel lobby waiting to go to a refugee camp. And the news was on from the States. And people were sitting there, mainly men, in the lobby. We were waiting for our rides. And it said, America, Supreme Court, rules that men can marry men and women can marry women. And it went to a shot of the White House with all these colored rainbow lights on the White House. The men in the auditorium or in that ballroom, wherever we were at that hotel, turned around and looked at us with disgust. That we're the sickest people. Americans are sick. See, it isn't called the Rainbow House. It's called the White House for a reason. But now you know who's in charge at your house in Washington, D.C. Then the Supreme Court said that same afternoon that America will not recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Whoa! What does God need us for? We've declared there's no significance to Jerusalem when God says, it's my city, I shall dwell there. That's where Jesus is coming back. And we, with our little puny black robes, say, no, America won't recognize Jerusalem when God has already recognized it, ladies and gentlemen. The strong delusion is already here because nobody is speaking out the truth of what's going on before our very eyes. And no one is resisting. But one of the great keys I learned from being a fatherless kid and growing up on the streets, that when I became a Christian, God was my defense. And God would fight my battles. And I would stand behind Him, with Him for me. I don't have to worry about anything if I'm walking in His light and have fellowship with Him. But the minute I get away from Him, I am susceptible to everything anybody else is. But if I have my full armor that God has given me, a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, a shield of faith, my loins are girded with the preparation of the gospel, my feet shod with the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, and praying always in the Word of God, I can stand against anything. And when you look at the sixth chapter of Ephesians and it tells every Christian what you have to get you through this planet and the people on it, the only thing that's not covered is your back. Because true warriors don't turn their back on the enemy. You don't have to worry about running. But if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Why? Because technically he's a coward. He's a bully. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser. He's a propaganda guy with a big mouth. He beats people back that nobody will want to resist him at all. But aren't you tired of being pushed around, losing sleep, wondering what's going on, trying to make ends meet? It could be that we have been like the Israelites and we've squandered our blessings. But God is a forgiving God. And He's such a loving God. He let His Son die for you and for me. There's no reason. There's no value in me. Apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. But when I'm in Jesus, I can do all things. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. So I'm willing to take steps of faith for Him because I know it'll bring some freedom to somebody somewhere, some love, some peace, some hope, a purpose. Have you lost your purpose? Have you ever had a purpose? Do you know that the greatest is this? If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you lay your life down for your brethren. That's how you become the greatest. Do you know that your love for other people is one of the greatest things that you can do and not judge and condemn? Because this judgment you give, Jesus said, will be given back to us. So I think it's important that we realize the world global community is moving right now. All over the Middle East, Asia's rumbling a little bit. All over the United States, weird things are happening. It's because the world is ready to set itself on fire. And the Lord Jesus is going to intervene. Do you know, what was it, 9 days ago? Two meteorites passed the planet Earth by 11 million miles, which is nothing. The closest pass by we've had, two of them. Do you know that Isaiah said that the earth in the last days is languishing under its inhabitants, It's falling apart. It's having problems, ecological problems. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard walking down the street and be removed just like a cottage. A whirlwind coming along and just, whew, a hurricane or tornado taking a house off its foundation, just like that. Every 5,600 to 6,000 years, physicists say, we have had a polar axis shift. We're due for one right now. And did you know this? That's why we have our polar caps. Because when it switches the poles, then we froze out the sun, and the ice came from the Arctic all the way down to Wyoming and a little bit further into Colorado. And now what's left of that last 5,600 or 700 years is the cap on top, and it's melting away very quickly. But we now understand that we are in what is called by physicists an earth wobble. We are out of a perfect spin. God designed us at 23 or 28 degrees angle on an axis that would turn and rotate itself 365 days a year around its biggest star that heats up this planet and gives it, by that tilt, gives the perfect temperatures for the four seasons. To be out of tilt, we're going to have some problems here. We don't know what they are. This is one of the reasons there's a great push. And probably by 2016, I believe they're saying, or sooner, we're going to have the very first housing on the moon. You see, these people that are keeping you and me out of the news of what's really going on are trying to get themselves off of our planet because they know that it's in big trouble. Physically. You see, it's going to be the gas station on the way to Mars. They already know that Mars can handle people. And Hollywood just put out that great movie called The Martian that got exposure through the Oscars, primo actors, and the people are looking, hey, that'd be kind of interesting to be up there. But it takes 9 months to get to Mars and about 2.5 or 3.5 days to get to the moon. So the first group of people will man the gas pumps, wash off the windshields of their space mobiles, and it'll be a stopping place. But people are going to be living there if the Lord would tarry. But what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? He'll call his very elect from the four corners of the heavens. People would be out there somewhere, huh? All heaven and earth groan, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole universe knows that the people on this planet are in rebellion against God. It knows it. And it's groaning, waiting for the redemption. So our hearts must be ready because the global community is against Israel, the United Nations. All the world, Zechariah says later on in the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th chapter, will turn against Israel. Jerusalem will be a stumbling block to all nations, including America. America is found nowhere in Bible prophecy at all. At the end of the age, something's going to hit and happen in our country. And you may be here or gone. But if you're here, this is the time to memorize the scriptures and hide them in your heart so that when you get to wherever you're going, you can sit down. If you don't have a Bible, you can write out what you remember and people can piece things together. It's going to be a rough time coming. So we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters that your Holy Spirit would, as Paul said, not let them be troubled in spirit or in mind, but they know things aren't totally right going on around them. We all know there's some mystery out there that we're being held back from, and we know it's like people don't care anymore. Police officers have a high price on their heads. People are walking up to the cop cars and shooting cops in the face. Lord, anarchy is breaking out all over our country, and it's kept by the media to be isolated in little spots so that we can't get the picture of how radical things truly are. So, Father, you said, let no man deceive you by any means. If it's an edited newsreel, or a slanted piece of news, we need your truth, and that comes from your word. Give these people a hunger and a thirst for not only righteousness, but for the holy word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. That's what you put down. And we know that the Lord Jesus is your price paid to redeem the inhabitants of this tired old planet. And tonight we would ask that your Spirit would forgive each one of us of our sins. You would cleanse us. You'd wash us. You would free us from self. You would help us pick up our cross and to walk with you. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you took the humiliation of dying instead of us having to be humiliated in public. You took those nails in your hands and feet so we wouldn't have to take them. You took all that whipping and beating and the pulling of your beard and being hit with a rod and spit upon so that that didn't happen to us. So, Lord, we owe you big time. But yet we know we're not saved by works of righteousness that any man has done, but by your mercy and by your grace, you have saved us. We can't pay for it. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. We receive it. And there are people here right now, Father, that they need you. They need you desperately. And they might not think very much of themselves. But they feel so badly for all the lives they've hurt. It's just too good to believe that if there is a God, that it'd be one that would love, forgive, and forget. So we all pray that know you for those that are sitting around us right now, that your love would just come upon them like a liquid waterfall, just pouring out of heaven upon their whole being, that they'd be forgiven. You'd restore their families. You'd restore their friendships. You'd restore their minds and their hearts and their health. Lord, that you would bless. And may this facility be a huge, bright light to all of San Diego County, but especially along the 78 corridor, and especially for the poor, for those that don't have any families or friends, for some that are here to work or whatever their motive is, none of our business. Our business is Jesus meeting these people. So give this congregation so much love. It'll be heard about around the world. People walk in, park their car. The peace that passes all understanding will rule in this, your facility. Honor these people. Bless these people. And for any that are lost and they want to come back home, would you speak to them right now? And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, as we start to worship, there are some of you. You don't need to be embarrassed by this, but we have seen in the New Testament that when Jesus called people, for instance, Matthew, he's out in public at the tax table. When he called John, James, Andrew, Peter, they were at work at their dad's boats. When he called Zacchaeus, he was up in a tree with a crowd walking the streets below with you. He just wanted to see you. You always call people, and it seems like a good number are called in public. We don't know why you do that. It might be because of pride, that it would really be a busting of our pride for some people, and other people are shy or bashful. For most of us, it's just too hard to believe that you would say, "Come unto me, whosoever will, and I'll give you eternal life." So as we're worshiping, I'd like everybody to reverently stand up right now. And those of you that would like to receive Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and your Savior, maybe you're that prodigal son, you've wandered a long way from heaven and its voice. Please, we're going to meet you right here, some of the pastors. We'll pray with you. Your life will never be the same when you settle down underneath that cross and you realize the great price God has paid for you. Those that are forgiven much, love much, and you know what you need to be forgiven of. And you'll understand that it took a lot of love to forgive you. And God isn't going to hand you a bill and say, now, you give me your life and work hard for me every day of your life. He's going to save your soul and give you eternal life and a brand new body because he loves you. He doesn't have a deck of cards, pick a card. He's not doing some spooky little deal. He just simply loves you. And he's used Pastor Rob's heart to have a prophecy conference that you came to tonight to get your attention. For some reason, you and I are alive at this time in history. Never before have the things that are taking place on this planet ever taken in place before any other generation of so many Bible prophecies being fulfilled at the same time. This means there's a mission for you and me. And to know it is one of the greatest feelings you'll ever have. And to be able to walk down the street and talk to your Creator, drive in your car, speak with your Creator or sing to him, to know he's with you when you put your head on the pillow, when you get out of bed in the morning, you can check in with HQ and get your assignment for a new day. And every person that comes into your life has been brought there by the Lord. If you're standing in line at Vaughn's, don't grumble because there's six people in front of you. Pray for those six people. Pray for those single moms with four or five kids hanging all over them. And you can tell that she's at her wit's end. Use your life to be a beacon of love and light and to pray. You may be the only person praying for the people you start praying for in the morning. The only person that's praying for them. They live on your street. They're in the traffic jams in the morning when the 78's backed up. They are in your business. They are shopping. They're at the beach. They're surfing. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm here, and in the name of Jesus, I pray for that guy. I wish I could surf that well, but I can't. So would you save his soul? Just start praying for people, because evacuation, planet Earth, is about ready to take place. Thank you very, very much. God bless you. And would you come forward, those of you that would like to pray? We'll pray with you. Anybody? Thank you.